With everyone fighting for attention, how can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy, with Constant Contact. Constant Contact's award-winning marketplace platform has helped millions of small businesses stand out, stay top of mind, and see big results fast. It's okay if you don't know much about marketing. Constant Contact's writing assistant tools and automation features help you craft messaging and say the right things at the right time. I use this to help write and send my email newsletters, and you should too. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com.
You can put that. You can want to say that.
Is it? Are we recording?
It's got to be four, right? Oh.
That was very not in sync.
No.
But that is your fair warning that this is the first official road trip podcast. I am Allie Clifton. To my left. No, let's start to my right. To my right.
Here we go. Come where the talent is.
Persistent, consistent popper in the NBA.
Oh, yeah. And we're working on rolling.
Even at 7 foot, Channing Frye.
Yo, what's up?
To his right, I don't even know what to refer to you as.
I mean, his name is... The young boy. The young boy.
Uncle Drew?
You could call me Uncle Drew. Some people refer to me as that guy.
I like that. That guy.
I like it. That guy, Uncle that Drew.
Guy. Yeah. And to his right, to bring it full circle, is the 36-year-old that plays as if he's 10 years younger sometimes.
Sometimes.
That's crazy.
I don't see it.
You just catch him on a random Tuesday. He's 36.
But also known as the Snapchat God, which I actually want to start there because... Channing on this road trip.
The Snapchat game is getting noise.
Channing, I'm going to tell you the truth. I'm going to start blocking you on Snapchat mainly because I do things and then weirdly I see it on your Snapchat.
What did you do?
Well, when I started Snapchatting like guys while they were sleeping but putting filters on them, then like 2 days later, I see you putting filters on guys and I'm like, Channing, really? You're just going to bite my style?
I don't even follow you.
And you were like, well, they're awake, not sleeping. I'm like, that's the only difference?
That's a huge difference.
How's that a huge difference?
It's a huge difference. I was actually looking at people from across the room. They didn't know I was had the filter on them. Basically, how about this? You had the piece of bread. I'm making sandwiches. Oh, okay.
But probably the greatest though of them all. Kai, where'd you go?
Kai,
no number twos.
Kai, where'd you go?
Kai.
I'm a big fan of Kai's Snapchat game.
Oh man.
Well, Kai, are you public now?
Part of it is public. The other part is private.
Your singing ability on your Snap is the best I've seen.
Yeah, but I think that I need to get more out there.
You do.
Most of my snaps, and you guys have seen some rants. I've just gone.
I will see like the one you click like 10 times and be like, damn.
Or when he's sitting out on his steps talking about his neighbors.
Yeah.
He's out here on my front porch looking at my neighbors.
You know what's so funny is that none of you are from Ohio, though. That's very Midwestern. So
what? Sitting on a porch?
People like me. Yeah, sitting out on your porch, sitting out on your front step, you engage with your neighbors.
I feel like, I don't know if I should take offense to that because, I mean, in Jersey, we do that. How is that a Midwestern thing, Allie?
No, I'm just saying that you want to say, oh, he's sitting on his porch.
Yeah,
that's what we do in Ohio.
Yeah, growing up in Arizona, you don't sit on the porch.
You are inside right next to that.
Or in Los Angeles, like where I lived until I was 8, you weren't sitting on those porches either. You were making sure you were inside the room.
Yeah, Main Street to Chandler.
Yeah, Channing.
I was not sitting on the porch.
You weren't sitting on the porches in Chandler.
No. I'm happy you guys got some rain on the front lawn recently.
Yeah, we got some rain in California. It was big. You understand, like, short story. Last time we got big rainfall in California, I was doing some construction on my house, and the whole tarp fell in on my house, destroyed my kitchen, destroyed my master bed. Everything had to be taken up. Floors had to be lifted up. Walls had to be taken off for mold. So... yeah, there's some good and bad that can come with that.
I'm sorry you had to take it to that place.
So whenever I see like major rainfall, it takes me back to like post-traumatic stress syndrome of like what happened the last time they got it in California. Because I was living in rentals for the next like 3 months.
So you can
be a Chargers or a Rams fan.
Wow, that's a hell of a segue. Terrible, but I'm 100%.
I was actually going to ask you about the preparation going forward for that like home. But
yeah, I mean,
I was going to continue to ask you about, ladies and gentlemen,
our next segue.
Are you San Diego or Alex Cora?
The random segue.
Who is going to win LA started first?
Oh, the Rams. The Rams have a history in LA. You have Eric Dickerson. You have that they were there before. You know, Eric Dickerson still has single season rookie record rushing. Like, there's something. They were the first ones to go back there. The whole reason why the Chargers are there are based off of LA establishing a stadium and a home there. I think it's sad that the Chargers are leaving. I don't think LA truly wants them. And I'm not going to speak for everyone, but you know, San Diego, they have a prideful history. You look at what the guys have done down there in San Diego. You can see the backlash. I don't know if this is a permanent move for them, but where the money is, the teams will go.
Go to Vegas.
They've made quite a statement with their logo.
Yeah,
they got rid of it.
Did they get rid of it already?
Look at you
keeping up with
your... No. Yeah, I saw it on the gram.
Sometimes it's tough when you try and drop something and it doesn't go...
LP was not...
Yeah, so... it's a little bit difficult for people to try and relate to a team that they have no recognition to, no history with.
Mm-hmm. I want to know, this is day 11 of this road trip.
Oh, man, it's crazy.
I'm ready to go.
Man.
Yeah, this is...
What do you miss most about home?
My son.
Yeah, my kids.
Yeah.
My son is probably the thing that I miss most about this this long road trip. It's been 11 days. I'm ready to go back.
How do you pass the time?
We've been just...
We've been cruising.
I literally walked 2 miles
cruising
yesterday.
What's the best what?
Describe that. Cruising.
Like, it's not... Usually on a West Coast road trip, it could go like really good, really bad, but we're trying to stay in the middle of everything. Understanding that this part of the season can really make or break a team. So I think we've all been on our fair share of teams where we're either heading into this full strength, or we're heading into this just really kind of thinking about when's the next break or something like that. Man, so
man. Those trips, like he said,
is that a good feeling?
It's not a good feeling when you're staring at it.
Yeah, no, it's not.
We're like, if we go 3-1 on this road trip, we have a chance.
Yeah.
If we go 1-3, I'm booking my trip to the Bahamas.
Shipping your cars.
You're making plans,
you're gonna leave 2 days after the season's over.
Yeah.
But we're not give up easy people. It's just that when it comes to, we're very resilient, but when it comes, we've all been in part of different situations.
Yeah.
It's just the truth about it. Being in on this West Coast road trip, builds character. And good thing we have great veterans, professionals that are waking up. He's telling me to activate at freaking 9 in the morning before the game.
So people back home that don't know. So when I first came into this league, the way the league would go is, like, if you played 4 games in 5 nights, basically you would wake up in the morning at 9, you would have a breakfast meeting at 10, mm-hmm. you would get up, you would go through film, and you would go through a walkthrough of the team that you were about to play, and then that would be it. You would go back to your room, sleep for another 4 hours, then go try and play. But the way the game has changed and guys have gotten smarter is we call it activation. So you wake up at like 10, you go to the weight room, you might ride a bike for 15 minutes, you might walk on the treadmill for 10 minutes, you might do some core strengthening. You just might do something to wake your body up. It's better than just being, having your body just kind of sit there and be stagnant for 8 hours and then trying to rev it back up and go play the game.
Does someone like Kyrie?
I was just trying to be a good vet when I suggested it to Kyrie. We're going to Portland. You got to activate.
It was a rough night.
I don't know if even everyone knows about the conditions in which we came into.
Let's tell everybody about Kai.
Tough game in Utah. Tough game is always hard going in Utah to play. We get on a flight, everyone's settled in, and then we start hearing whispers. You start hearing whispers from everyone. Oh, we're not going to get out of here.
I'm grumpy.
You're grumpy. Everyone's like, we got to go to sleep. So Cobra, Snake Man, we'll introduce him in another podcast. But he's over there getting the extract with all the people, and he's like, you know what? We're going to fly up to Seattle. Everyone's throwing out very unrealistic ideas.
Yeah.
Let's go to LA. Let's go to Vegas for the night. Fly to Portland in the morning. Play the game. We might as well just play the game in Seattle. They got an arena out there. Like, all these unrealistic expectations. We end up going in the air. I don't blame the pilot. He got me there safely, but he lied to me.
He
told me we were going to land in Seattle.
Yeah.
And I woke up and we were in Portland.
We all all thought we were landing in Seattle.
Everybody was not.
Every team. Nobody so Portland, was. Mind you people, Portland was in LA. So we, the one good thing for us, at least we felt better about, is that Portland wasn't sitting there waiting on us. Portland was sitting in LA. They couldn't get out. We're sitting in Utah. We couldn't get out. It was an ESPN game?
Yeah, it was an ESPN
game. It was an ESPN game.
And Fox Sports Ohio.
Yeah, so you know the game was going to be played. Like, there was no doubt. So when we take off, like Kyrie said, we're going to Seattle. We have the hotels. We have everything. And somewhere mid-flight.
Have you ever experienced that?
Never.
First?
No.
Never.
No. That was weird. I didn't go to bed till 5:30. We woke up for a meeting at 11, I think, right? Or 12. So, and then, you know, RJ tells me to go activate. I activate. I'm feeling good about myself. I'm coming into the meeting like, yeah, I activate. And then I go back to my room and I can't go back to sleep. So I come to the arena and I'm just tired as God knows what. And then, you know.
Activated in terms of you went to the gym.
Went on a bike for 5 miles. I did some slides. You know, got the blood going on the treadmill. So,
you know.
I feel good about myself.
Well, I will tell you this, and I promise you this, at 36 years old, you're not there yet. If I don't activate.
Oh.
Like, I'm shooting. I don't know what I would be shooting if I didn't activate. It would be god awful.
Think about how less athletic I'd be if I didn't activate.
Yeah, and you are, thank God you were 7 feet tall.
I had bang outs today on that short rim.
No, you did.
You did.
You were taking full advantage of the short rim.
You were really impressive. But yeah, I've never been a part of something like that where you're taking off and mid-flight, they're not going to tell us, mid-flight, you know, because I think they figured everybody was sleeping because it's 1-2 o'clock in the morning. Mid-flight, they get clearance to land. And this is how random it was. So we land in Portland, and we're looking around like, yo, that's a lot of snow for Seattle.
Yeah.
And they're like, hey, guys, we were able to land in Portland. We were able
they
to
snowplowed the runway just for us. Yeah.
So we land there, but this is how Portland still flew to Seattle. Portland still flew to Seattle and then ended up.
So we both had. We
so
both
yeah,
had.
So we both ended up having
a road.
A drive through. So
they weren't happy with that.
They were not happy. No, that we got there before. Obviously, it didn't work to our advantage. But it was. It did not work to our advantage. Maybe we should have flown into.
How
Seattle.
Grumpy? How grumpy were you guys after that game?
The worst.
Like after the game, like everyone just went their separate ways. We were just like, that okay, we like, understand that we lost to Portland in Portland. Okay, guys, let's just get out of here. Let's just go our own ways. We'll get back at it.
Yeah. That was one of those bus rides when you get on the bus afterwards and it's like an outside folk. Like, you don't open your mouth.
Oh, yeah.
No. You don't open your mouth. Because it was you know, for me, the Utah game was that for me. Because Kai fortunately had a moment with me and told me to quit acting like I was in, my second year. And, I was a undrafted rookie trying to make it. Yeah. He's like, Richard, what are you doing? And I was like, well, I feel like I need to be doing this better. And he's like, yeah, none of that makes any sense. He's like, none of that matters, Richard. And I was like, yeah, but Kai, I feel like, you know, you guys are doing this. And he's like, yeah, I hear you, but none of that makes any sense and none of that matters. And I was like, you're right. You're 100% right. And from that point, you know, my mind is cleared. So even as a 16-year vet, hearing it from a younger player, you're not a young guy anymore. What year is this for you?
Six.
Six. God, and you're 23 years old. It's crazy.
24. Don't disrespect me. You know that. Come on.
You knew that was disrespectful.
I knew that was coming. Stop.
You knew that was disrespectful.
How was your birthday?
March 23rd.
March 23rd.
Yeah.
The God.
All right, I want to get your thoughts on, because it's a big conversation and it's surrounding, obviously, you guys and the Warriors.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Rivalries.
Yep. What about them?
Do they exist?
Yeah.
Do you believe them?
It's good for the media.
It's good for the overall game of basketball.
Yeah.
Now that everyone can basically... Now that both sides have kind of won, it turns into something bigger. Like before, you think about it. When they came home, they came to Cleveland last year.
And Steph said he hoped that our locker room
smelled like champagne. We were like, okay, well, now this is just taking it a little bit too far. Like, okay, now you're just disrespecting our manhood. Yeah. They come in there, we lose by 30.
Blown.
Right there, now the media takes him to run with it. I'm cool with that. But anything outside the game of basketball that goes out like for Halloween parties or anything that goes on, us trolling each other.
Decorations?
When you win, it's all good. Like, it's nothing can stop you. Nothing can stop you. You can do anything. It's just like, well, they'll get over it. When they were doing things and they were doing what they were doing, we were like, okay, that's fine. You guys won. We respect it. Now when we won, now it's just an even playing field, and you just love that in competitive basketball.
It is good. And that was my thing when people were saying like, oh, the cookies and Clay, who, again, I I was very fortunate to play in Golden State, so I have a different perspective from this. Like, he's played with Draymond and Klay in the Olympics, mm-hmm. Harrison also. So, like, you know these guys as brothers. Like, when you go compete for your country, like, there's a bond that you get. They were fortunate to win a gold medal. I won a bronze. That's a whole other story.
But I thank you. We talked about this already.
But saying that, it's like, I had Harrison as a rookie. I had Draymond as a rookie. I had Steph. I had Klay as a rookie. Even Ian Clark on their team, I had as a rookie. So I played with these guys. And so, you know, is there a rivalry? No, you respect these guys. You work every day to go out there knowing that these are the individuals that you're going to have to try and beat to get to your ultimate goal. Mm-hmm. But when people start trying to make it into cookies and this, it's like, look, Steph Curry, like the golden boy of the NBA, came to Cleveland and said that he hopes that our locker room still smells like champagne. Now, he talked about his dad. He talked about his dad in an article not too long ago that I read, where he was talking about his contract and how he's very comfortable in the contract that he's in right now. He said his dad told him, which is great advice for everyone out there, his dad told him never to look at another man's plate. Mm-hmm. Don't ever look at another man's plate. That being said, in his dad's era, if his dad would have said, I hope that another team's locker room smells like champagne, in the era of Charles Oakley and Anthony Mason and all those guys, there would have been fights, right? So for us, for cookies to be made or this to be said, it's like, look, this is going on both sides. This is not just like the Cleveland getting on them or them getting on. It's just playful banter that's going back and forth. And I just want to make sure that fans out there and everyone knows that I have no disrespect for Steph. Play with the guy. Love the guy. I wish him the best. Unless they're playing against us.
Yeah, for sure.
You know? Then after that, it's no whole bar. It'll be a flagrant foul. It'll be a hard foul. It'll be a bump. It'll be a push because I want to win. There's no friends between those lines.
No. It's no disrespect to the era that you guys are playing in, obviously. Yeah. But would you guys ever have wished to play back in the 80s?
No, the money there was really not good.
Besides the money, they
rode in regular planes. No, thank you.
I would love to play in that era.
That's not my cup of tea.
For stretch fives, that would not.
No,
be
no, it's not my cup of tea, though.
But what? A competitiveness.
Competitive standpoint, and also no one could stay in the paint for like the defensive 3 seconds. You had to be arm's length to your man and guarding him until I don't know what year, but thinking about all the ISO situations that MJ had, they had to really come and double
team
these guys in order. So I'm thinking about from the standpoint how much open space it would be. I know I would go in there and kind of, they would lay me on my ass.
They would
I'm fine with that.
And what's crazy about it is like, that's what we grew up watching. I know Kyrie's a bit younger than me, like a year or two younger than me. But that's what you grew up watching. So yeah, you would, like, when you're sitting there watching this stuff, for Kyrie was watching me because he grew up in Jersey 10 years ago.
I think you should segue that after that about how big of a fan I was of RJ and the Nets teams back in the day. But we'll talk about the 80s
that's
now.
That's another road trip. The 80s, you're going to talk about the 80s? Yeah, Channing. No one was ever fans of Channing.
Please don't be a fan of me.
I was not a fan of
me
in New York.
Oh my God. No,
I wasn't a fan of me in New York. I was a very different player.
Like, I don't think...
Why?
I had to evolve.
He really had to evolve.
You had to
like, that was the end of...
your coach was
like,
so-so.
The face. I know, he was
He was so-so. Larry Brown, how about that? How did that debacle go? He was my coach in the Olympics.
It was a lot of moving parts.
Yeah.
Not enough Greeks out there.
Hall of Fame coach was not good in New York, was not good in the Olympics. Mm-hmm. I wasn't great in the Olympics. We can all put that out there.
What year was that for you?
2005. Dude, it was the end of, like, the... Like the transition of like more European players, more like team basketball, like not a lot of ISOs, but like he was still coaching that way. So it was like Steph ISO, Jamal Crawford ISO, Channing ISO. Now that is the last time that Channing and ISO, it was like face up, post, you know, do stuff like that. But then it was like, okay, I'm 240, 230, and you want me to play me at center. And then I got a guard like Shaq, Yao Ming, like
you
these
no
big
chance.
Bruisers. And I was like, no chance. And then I didn't know how to shoot threes at that time, or they didn't like teach me like this is what's good for us. So finally I got to Phoenix and I had Robin Lopez guarding me. Alvin Gentry's like, just take one more step back. He can't guard you out there. I was like, okay, let me try this. He goes, shoot 100 of these every day. And he's like, if you stop shooting in the game, I'm gonna take you out. And I was like, are you
that
serious?
That explains why your assist numbers are so low now.
Just not the best passer in the world either. So, you know, listen. You know, we all have our roles, you know.
Yeah, you're
It's hit or miss.
It's getting there.
It's hit or miss.
Can you explain to me why? I don't know why this was the first time I ever heard of it. What's Fry Island?
That's where I stand in the corner.
What is Fry Island?
That's where I stand in the corner, and the guy can't help anyone, and he has to touch me because the coaches are yelling, "Get to his body! Get to his body!" And they come, and we just talk. We talk about life. Like, most of the time in the game, I'm like, "Hey, man, you know you're with me. You can't leave me. He's gonna get a dunk, or somebody's gonna get a layup." And the guy's like, "I know, but you know, this isn't a scatter report. Like, I can't believe this." And it's like amazing. I'm still shocked that I even get that corner three. Like, last game I got it, and I was like,
Fry Island started because when we're going away from our bench, he's in the left corner, so that's right next to their bench. So their whole bench and coaching staff are sitting there. Don't leave him. Stay right next to him. Now, mind you, Channing's 8 feet, like 2 feet from their bench, like 3 feet from their bench.
I'm not going anywhere fast.
They're like, "Don't leave him. Don't leave him." And every big man still leaves.
They like guys.
It's a natural thing. It's a natural thing.
And I'm like, "Ah, too late."
And then every time Channing hits the shot, "Better not leave me. I told you not to leave you. Why you leave me?"
I don't help him. Just come stay out here with me. Let's talk about how you're doing. You know,
Fry Island is amazing for the spacing on the floor. And now, sad though, because now that area has become Kyle Island.
He bullied me out of my corner. I turned into a screener.
Because I have three, because all three of you can through Bob. So this conversation came up on the bus. What?
I said career, not season.
This conversation came up on our bus ride back from Shoot Around this morning between Kyle Korver and Champ. Ooh. Robin, you're going to have to help me with this. Were you paying attention? The question was, 5 spots, 10 shots, no fans, no distractions, no time.
Oh, are they going? Are they moving?
Oh, no, that's tough.
Are they moving?
See, no, this is
not
this.
Oh,
is
five spots? Champ.
I'm going to say Champ.
Champ.
I haven't seen enough of Kyle. I know him as a shooter. I know him as a shooter and as a scorer.
Kyle, you're a three-point champion.
What do you think?
It's different.
Now, mind you, it's Kyle.
Channing, did you compete in a three-point competition?
Yeah. Dud.
Did you know the answer to that, or are you just?
Yeah, I love Champ. Champ has a beautiful jump shot. Beautiful, beautiful. Kyle does too, but you know.
You need to pick one. I'm gonna go with Kyle.
I'm gonna go with Kyle. Kyle on the move as a shooter, so very clearly,
like this is one thing that we say. Like
he doesn't have to move.
So if you look at the top like 15 guys. Not the same. Like he's like a screen and pop back three point shot.
Yeah,
pump fake, sidestep three. But that
we can't discredit Kyle. He has a dead eye to be able to lock in and move right and still be able to shoot.
We were talking about basically a three point contest. So they're in one spot, 10 shots. Who wins?
I think it's closer.
I would go with Champ only because I think Kyle, I think Kyle's a better shooter. Champ on set shot square up. I think Champ.
This guy makes 7 in a row from 7 spots. Champ. Yeah, and that's in like minutes. Yeah, and like that's his thing. 7 in a row, 7 spots, and he's like, he gets so bored. It's like, you know, as a shooter, you're usually like left right every time. He's like. Left, right for 2, right, left for 2, you know, my math is bad, a hop step for 2.
Yeah, and then like, your math is just stop.
Maybe something
your for explanations of different moves are just terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah, you said hop step. I mean, how are you hop stepping from the 3-point line?
You hop into it. So 2 feet plant, shoot, right, left, left, right. That's better.
Okay.
And you're still going, Kyle? You still think that?
Well, I just think
I would take myself against both of them.
100%. But all 40% 3-point percentages aren't created equal. Like if you go and look at the top 15 guys that like in the league that will shoot 40%, I've been one of them. No one cares. Like if you look at them that have shot 40% on the season. Now, I might shoot 41. Steph might shoot 42. And you're like, oh, Richard and Steph are the same type of 3-point shooters. No, they're not. Created equal. So that being said, it's like the difficulty of the shots that Kyle shoots
JJ Redick,
is so much higher than Champ's. You know, like the difficulty of the 3-point shots you shoot are far greater than someone that's just a set you have to shot. Or even like a set shot like Channing. Like Channing had. Now, Channing shoots a high degree of difficulty of shot because he will shoot one when guys are literally on top of him. But he's 7 foot, so it makes it a little bit easier. I'm 6'5". Right. I can't see over people that are closing out to me.
And you're what? And you're what, Kai?
Okay, well, okay, you're looking. Okay, right now.
You're 6'5".
Well, I was exaggerating for it, but I'm 6'6½", to tell you the truth.
But your shot makes you 6'10".
No, but this is...
This right here makes you 6'10".
So this is what... This
ability to still shoot.
So this is what makes... my shot is not deli. No, I'm saying. It's back, but it's not deli. It's back. I cock it, but it's not deli. But that's... Yeah. Point being this. You're saying this, but Deli, he's mocking Deli's shot. Deli, we miss you.
Yeah, we do.
Love you guys. Hey, send me some free coffee, homie.
Channing, when we played against Milwaukee, he was like, yo, why are you not shooting that shot? I'm like, well, Giannis is closing out
to
me. Greek Freak is closing out to me. He's like, yeah, but he's chopping his feet, right? Channing didn't have Giannis close out to until the next game. Now, mind you, I'm 6'6", and all of a sudden, like, you think you're tracking the ball, and you think you're open, and all of a sudden you turn and look at the rim, and Giannis's 8-foot-long arms are in front of you that he would be blocking.
I've never seen anybody.
And then the next game, Channing was like, yeah, that's a hell of a closeout. Yeah.
Listen, he was underneath the hoop. Somebody drove. He stopped the drive, and by the time the ball got to me, and I don't have like a, I have a very quick release for a big guy. I put the ball near my face. His hand was touching the ball. I said, "Oh hell no!" The first thing I thought was, "You know what? That boy good. You know what? He good, man."
But you were criticizing me on the
bench. Because like, Richard, why didn't you shoot that? Oh no way!
I'm like,
he literally from the paint was just like, if you could just imagine a go-go stretch arm, and he was like, "No, you ain't shooting this sucker."
Yeah.
You over here looking at shoes, girl. Look at this.
No, I am not looking at shoes.
What are you looking at, Allie?
But before, because I know, Kai, you have to go. Mm-hmm. I want to do something fun. Do you guys like Would You Rathers?
Yo, love it.
Is this similar to Truth or Dare? Look at her face lit up. Look at her face light up.
We're going to keep it PG-13.
Oh, okay.
It's boring.
NC-17.
Yeah.
Okay, PG-13.
Emmanuel in Space?
Would You Rather.
Or NYR, Not Yet Rated.
Not Yet Rated. Not Yet Rated,
Look, Q&A. Yeah.
Okay, would you rather?
Okay, we'll be kind of simple first. Would you rather be able to read? Let me back up. Would you rather not be able to read or not be able to speak?
Not be able to read.
What?
I like to talk way too much in case you guys have
not speak.
You'd rather be able to not speak?
Because I can still communicate, but like, if you're anything you're trying to do.
No,
Rich. Oh yeah, your vocal game is shit.
I'm saying, Rich, you read text like. You can't read nothing.
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
I'm okay with being quiet.
I'd rather
There's also the new...
the silent type.
Technology, so the voice recorded.
Yeah. Kai, Kai.
Come on now.
You'd rather be able to not what?
Speak. I don't want to talk to y'all anyway.
That is very true. Kai doesn't want to talk. See, me, all I do, I have a talking problem. So, not
you don't. No, you don't.
I would much rather be able to talk than to not be able to read.
Dolo, straight face.
Yes.
No? Reading everything, acquiring as much knowledge as I can.
Yeah, and you can finger sign language, the knowledge all you want.
That's what I'm saying. I'll learn how to speak sign language in multiple languages.
You would or you don't?
Huh?
You would learn or you don't?
Yeah, I would learn.
One more for Kai has to go.
Okay, would you rather control space or time?
Space.
Time.
Space. Time is a misconception, man.
Here we go. That's what I'm talking about.
Let's talk about
lizard people. Yes.
Truth be told, I feel like since I've been born, my time has been borrowed.
Yes.
Like every single day, I wake up and I feel like there's something holding me or pulling me into a direction of feeling like I need this to succeed at life. It's just like, I don't know, man.
You
I don't know. This
misconception
of time is like, oh my, like every time I look up, I'm like, every minute is freaking calculated now in my life. And I'm not sure if I ever will get a chance to ever look at my clock and be like, okay, I can utilize these 10 minutes in order to do something that I really want to do. That deep inside I want to do. Even when you're tired. Like, when I'm about to go to sleep, I am really calculating my time. How much sleep I'm going to get. What time I'm going to wake up. Yes. Ever since I've been a kid, I've been waking up for school. I've been waking up to put my clothes on. How much time I need to do this? How much time I need that? How much time do I have to read? How much time do I have to go to sleep?
Don't go Ricky Williams on us.
I'm not going Ricky Williams on you.
Present guy. I don't want to, like, fast
forward. Yeah, moment to moment.
Like you said,
right,
when you're retired, will you be able to, do you think?
Kind yes. Retired. And that's going to make him go crazy, because the year I sat out, the first 2 months, I lost my mind because I didn't have a schedule. So I had to put myself on a schedule that I liked. So, like, I'd wake up and golf. But, like, I'd wake up early, golf, and just kind of, like, mostly through the day. But, like...
See, that's the type of thing that I commend you on for even finding a schedule. But for me, going forward throughout my life, it's just I'm preparing for that time of when I have... my calculated time and when I could actually do
it. So you're waiting on the time to get that time.
Yeah. Like, I'm preparing for that right now.
When you
basketball,
when
I give you everything to my
out
time
of that, like, military schedule, because we really are, like, wake up this time. Because then you think, okay, if shoot around's at 10:30, waking up at 9:30, gotta eat, gotta stretch. Then it's gonna take 15 minutes to get there. How long is my nap gonna be afterwards? I'm gonna eat at this time. Mm-hmm. Then I'm gonna go to sleep at this time.
So really I get 8 hours. Because they look at you guys professional athletes versus sport. I don't think they understand that about you guys.
Well, it's crazy.
It's a crazy schedule. I mean, it's a very
favorable schedule.
It's a very huge commitment.
Favorable. Yeah.
And I think about the commitment from us just being children and us being identified as quote unquote the top players, and the league has been watching us for years. They know and target exactly who's going to come in. Of course, people get drafted, people have opportunities to take advantage of. But think about how much basketball you've played in your life in 16 years.
Crazy.
How much have you played in your life in terms of basketball, from when you were a kid, from your parents bringing you to the travel basketball schedule, to you waking up early for college and going to class and then going to practice?
Oh, man. Class. Hey.
Did you go to class to do?
Yeah. He was like, freshmen are not going to class.
Class check.
If you guys do this again, you will be running track. Seriously.
Yeah.
Well, see, I want to say that Kyrie probably went to more class in a semester and a half than I did. No, I went to class in Arizona. See, this was key about our school. Going to class was half the battle. Yeah. Like, going to class was half the battle. Once you're there, it's whatever. You're trying to learn through osmosis. Tell you the truth, half the time we went to class just to see what girls were there
100%.
So that we could try and talk to see what girls were
interested in. I didn't go to a big university like Arizona.
Oh, man.
Yeah,
the U of A shorts.
Oh, the U of A shorts were great.
With the Rocket Dog sandals?
With the white tank top and bathing suit.
Yes!
That was the U of A uniform.
It's like, I got this psych class and I'm going to go chill by the pool. Oh, that's crazy.
So what
me
they
too.
Used to do at our school is when they would, Kai, do you have to go? You have to go? Do you want to hear this story or do you have to go?
No, I got time.
Okay, so what they used to do at our school.
She'll understand.
So because it was 80 degrees all year long. So, like, most of the time kids would, like, they would have these pools or the rec pool. So you would sit by the pool. But, like, the shorts that they show, you know, just like they have at all different schools. Like, they'll have, like, U of A or, like, U of O or whatever it is. But the U of A, they used to call them U of F shorts, right? So we put them on there. So girls would put these on, bikinis still wet. Put these on, put a white wife beater over the shirt, and then they would go to class. And this is what they would, like, I want to say, if there's 60 girls in your class, like 25 of them are in some sort of, like, outfit like this. It could be like
hotel, guy boxer, just got back from the pool gear.
It could be guy boxers just rolled up, or these shorts, or just like that was kind of the look.
Or like some sort of tank top jersey.
or some sort of overall. They would go to class for an hour, 2 hours, and then take it off on their way back to the pool or back to whatever.
And
like, that was U of A.
Study by the pool as they tan.
Yeah.
Great days.
And Chad
great
never
days.
Talked to any of them.
No, awesome. I did not talk to any of them.
Yes, that was Arizona. Like, it was just, it was.
We did that in hoop.
Yeah, that and play basketball. Yeah. Tan and play basketball. I used to think I was dark.
Until
I moved to New Jersey. No kidding. Because that was the first time in my life. Like, I was born in LA, grew up in Phoenix, went
to
UVA.
You hadn't been around the sun for a certain amount of time.
I had never not had sun in my entire life. And I got to New Jersey, and my rookie year, we went to the finals, 0-1, Jersey, first time ever, no big deal. Mm-hmm. And next thing I know, everyone was like, why? Rafa was there. Tell him, Rafa. He saw me dunk on Kobe. That's your hero. I have a picture. I'll send it to you. last picture was like the only highlight that New Jersey actually had in that series. Game four, I dunked on Kobe.
Will you autograph it for Kyrie?
No, but I've sent the autograph to Kobe, and I asked Kobe to sign it, but he never sent it back. So weird. Yeah. So weird.
His ring probably got in the way of
his ring got in the way of signing it. He won the championship. Kobe doesn't care.
No.
But yeah, that was literally the only memory, and I was so pale. That was the first time I realized maybe I'm not dark.
No.
I used to think you guys were like you guys were invincible.
We were pretty
invincible. Good. Watching you guys in regular season was always fun. And then watching you guys in the playoffs was fun as well. But
how old were you?
12. Oh, he's 9.
You were right at that age where you could like glued to a whole game.
I was 9, 10. I was sitting up in the nosebleeds waving my white towel.
Is it but like 9?
I was way up. I could see you guys running around. Let's go! Let's go, Mets! Let's go, Mets!
That's so funny.
Just be walking that long tunnel from Giant Stadium to Continental. Man, that gym, I used to, because my Uncle Rod played in the league. Yeah. Rod Strickland played in the league. So my Uncle Rod, after the games, I used to be able to go on the floor. And you know, they used to have pickup games after the game sometimes. Yeah. So my dad used to go there and play. I used to look up the rims, the white nets. Man, the Continental Airlines gave me like goosebumps.
Oh, man, I missed
that. That's when I went home. After your finals game, I went home and wrote that on my sheetrock in my closet. I'm going to the NBA, I promise. After I watched that finals game, I was like, that was unbelievable, Dad. I can't wait. Dad, I need to be a part of this. Like, I need to be a part of this. And I went to sleep. I was so excited, bro. I got my Nets towel. I had my gray Jason Kidd alternate jerseys with the red outlining and the white letters.
We wanted to wear it more. That and the throwback. The white with the red, like the old Dr. J one.
Yeah,
those are probably the top five jerseys.
Those are the best ones.
Yeah, but that's crazy. Like, when you get to that age of like 10 to 12 is when you start to really lock in. Like, you can sit there like, don't talk to me, I'm watching the game.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
what do you think when you watch like Jason Kidd in those days?
What do you mean? What I think?
Well, yeah.
Like, when I was watching him.
Yeah.
Well, first off, which was crazy, when I ended up seeing Ian Eagle on the train.
Yeah.
I ended up seeing Ian Eagle, and I'm like, you have no idea. I'm gonna answer your question in a second, Rob. I saw him, and I'm like, you are really the voice that I grew up watching.
Yeah.
Like, Vinsanity, RJ, JK, Jason Kidd, the announcer at the freaking Continental Airlines. Oh, man, but when I saw them playing, I was just like, man, I want to be a part of this. I used to get, my hands used to get really, really clammy when I used to get close to the court and close to you guys. I used to get so nervous. I'd be like, these are really NBA players right now, and hopefully I'm good enough one day to even be on the court. I never shot the basketball on the court.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm not shooting a basketball on the NBA until I make it. Yeah. So I used to go up to the court, and I used to stand there right on the edge. And I used to stand there, and I used to go like this. I used to put one foot on and one foot off. And I used to look at my dad, and I'd be like, look at my foot, Dad. I'm like, I'm on the court. And I just step right off, man. Oh, man, my dad had no idea that impact it made on me, man.
No, man, those things are so awesome. Because even to your point, like Al McCoy, who is the voice of the Phoenix Suns, it's the same way. Like, I grew up, like, this was Charles Barkley, Jeff Hornacek, Dan Marley, like Tom Chambers, where they had epic teams. Like, they went to the finals and lost to MJ. When I was like 14 years old.
I ran out of my house.
Yeah, so
no!
So it was like literally to have the Phoenix Suns be playing Michael Jordan. And I'm I grew up in LA. I moved to Phoenix. So I was kind of not like a super Michael Jordan fan because they had beat Magic and the Lakers for his first championship, and then a couple years later he's playing against Jordan. But it was still just like watching MJ. And like wanting your team to win, and like MJ or like Charles just won the MVP. He had the dopest Nikes out.
The first ones with the air bubble.
The Charles Barkley shoes were the dopest out. Like, he was just on
the
fire.
Kevin Johnson
dunked on the King that year.
Yes.
And then it was just like you're sitting there watching. This is before your time.
Yeah.
But Kai, but you're sitting there watching. You're just like, you're like, come on, you could do it. And MJ's just crushing.
Why do you have to say that? Why do you have to say this before my? I am a basketball petition. I made up that word for you guys.
But it was
I watched that whole series.
But you watched it.
I watched the whole series just because I didn't see it.
But I'm trying.
I got to see it from my NBA standpoint.
You're right, but Kai, I'm trying to take people back to a place and a time.
Emotionally. I don't want to be there emotionally.
How old were you in 94?
I was 2.
So,
I was 2.
Yes. So when you're trying to take people back to the Continental Airlines Arena,
it's not fair.
I know about the series.
You know about the series. You watched it, but to be there and to be in Phoenix where all of the Phoenix kids are just losing it over.
What are you talking about? You weren't even doing anything when you were 11 and 12.
But
you were
6'8".
I was 6'2". And when I was
tall. He was tall.
Wow. Huge. I was taller than all my teachers. I was always been
birth.
Like two, yeah.
He came out of 2 feet.
And literally every photo is like all the kids are flatlined, and then me is like a foot taller. I was taller than all my teachers in sixth grade. As I shook their hand out of elementary school, there's a picture of me and all the teachers. And it's like a grown man shaking hands with like all the teachers. Like,
oh, the first time I met Channing was at Jason Kidd's basketball camp at Thunderbird High School. We go. And they're like, yeah, he just came to watch the games. But we, like me, Mike Bibby, Jay Kidd, I think Gary Payton were there, and Lynn, all those guys were there. So I'm there, like, playing. I'm just, like, coming out. I was about to go to Arizona, and they were like, oh, come meet my son. His dad brought him over. And so I
couldn't. This was working out with, like, a heavy vest on, shooting J's.
Yeah, man. Getting ready.
It was hilarious now that I look back.
But Channing was 6'9". He was taller than me. And I was like, I didn't know the kid. But it was like, oh, no, he's going to be a sophomore next year. And I was like,
in high school?
Yeah, in high school. And he was 2 inches taller than me. Wow. And then it was like 2 years later, like, we're driving down to go watch him play in the state championship because we recruited him. So...
I had a similar moment with Ben Simmons in Australia though.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, I had no idea that was like Ben Simmons. I didn't.
You never?
I had no idea. I met him I was in Melbourne, Australia, running a camp, and the camp guy was like, "Hey, come." This was after my second year in the league.
Yeah.
He's like, "Yeah, he was a sophomore or something." Yeah. Like, he was about to go to Monteverde, and I met him in the corner at the basketball camp, and I had no idea he turned out to be.
You never know, man.
So he's from Australia.
Australia low key got like a lot of good dudes. Like,
that's what I'm saying. I that's where I'm from.
You're Australian.
Oh, really?
I'm Australian. Yeah, you didn't know that?
No.
Yeah, so I
learned new things.
I was born in Australia.
Because Brett Brown, he was coaching the Australian team, and so he was on Spurs, and so you had the opportunity to pick. Mm. Luckily, you are a stud, so you were like, I'm going to wait for USA Basketball.
Luckily, I'm a stud? Well, Coach K talked me out of it.
No, but that's what, when I say luckily, I mean like...
What do you mean luckily? Are you saying that I'm not... If I didn't turn out to be this, I wouldn't be able to play on the Australia
team? Can I finish my thought?
Australia wouldn't have been a backdrop. I wanted to kick USA's ass at first.
Can I finish my thought? Can I finish my thought? This is what I'm going to say. They had Andrew Bogut. They had other guys, Patty Mills, though they had established NBA players.
That's so what I'm saying. Joe Ingles.
If you would have had the opportunity, and they are always the best team in their region, so they're always in the Olympics. So you wouldn't have been USA Select, you would have been in the Olympics.
Yeah.
But you were a stud, and you were like, I believe in my ability that I want to wait for that opportunity to play for USA basketball.
Coach.
Yeah.
Coach K.
Smart man.
Don Maker.
What?
Kid from Milwaukee.
They're just okay.
They're giving out citizenships left and right. Okay.
that's not up to me.
As you can tell, we can talk stories forever. Which you have to come back because I would love to get your opinion about Grayson Allen. At a later date.
Unless
you got a little teaser.
Well, no, I got 2 cents in.
What do you want? What do you want to know?
I want to know your opinion on that.
You know, Grayson is—he's a great kid. He's a great kid. He leaves it all out on the line every single game. He's a great leader for our team. You know, just emotional, just being in there and just being in the moment. And sometimes the moment can get too big. And honestly, I think that coach knows best. Grayson's been in college for a little bit. We were supposed to kind of see Grayson leave after his sophomore year. I would like to see him leave after sophomore year, but he came back. He's developing a young core team that he's basically in control of, and sometimes it could get brought out of proportion. You know, obviously when you're at a prestigious program like Duke, things are going to happen sometimes.
Yeah.
But coach does an incredible job of making sure we take accountability, take responsibility for our actions. He knows it wasn't right, and hopefully he can learn from it. But, you know,
hey, we all make mistakes.
I don't fault him for it. I personally have never gone and tripped somebody, but I've definitely elbowed somebody just, you know, without getting caught, you know, doing something of that nature. Sometimes competition can do those things, but it is
amazing when you are under that scrutiny, that much scrutiny.
Yeah.
How much everyone's looking for.
You remember what Pitino said? You hear what Pitino said about
No.
it?
What did he say?
He actually said that he would, you know, he would
he admired the kid, that he was sure that he didn't do it.
No, he wasn't trying to do it maliciously. I don't think he was ever in that intent, but like I said, some things happen in competition.
You get an elbow and it's a fast reaction.
It could be something like that. I've definitely had my fair share of, trying to trip some of my best friends in the backyard.
Oh, yeah.
Of literally on pavement knowing what was going to happen.
It's really good.
Yeah. But no, I think it's a great thing, man. The media picked it up, so it was, Grayson was all over ESPN. What happened to your boy Grayson? That's all I was hearing in the morning when the thing happened again. What happened to your boy Grayson? Like, he pushed his coat to trip another player? I'm like,
no,
I don't really have that much information to give you guys.
I will tell you this, Grayson, if you're listening, you have your own camera. You have your own camera that is following you everywhere you go. Yeah. If you don't shake a fan's hand, if you don't sign an autograph, if you mouth off, like, you have your own. It's like, normally there's a camera, like, for the court, there's multiple angles, and then there's the Grayson Allen camera. So that means when you walk out the game, if you don't high five everyone, if you walk out the game and you say something to a fan, they're going to catch it. There is a camera on Grayson Allen at all points in time about anything, looking for him to make a mistake.
Of course.
Of course, but you're also talking about a 20-year-old kid.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Right. But
a 19-year-old
media doesn't care about that. They're like, people are watching Duke basketball who don't even like Duke basketball just to see if Grayson Allen does something crazy in the game.
Yeah. I agree.
So, like, good or bad,
but take
advantage of it.
It is kind of an unfair space for the kid to be
in. And don't put me on that unfair space of kids in college basketball or kids coming into the league.
What do you mean?
I'm talking about being 19 years old, 20 years old, 18 years old, coming into a grown man's game.
Channing was not there. I was there. Channing was not there.
But I'm saying, though, it's crazy. It's crazy, man.
It is
crazy. I'm talking about from the media perspective, from the camera perspective, and you're telling me.
From being the next guy after LeBron. I'm just saying, the number one pick. So you're the guy after.
That's probably why I wanted to get on this topic of 18-year-old, 19-year-old, 20-year-old.
I apologize.
Of coming into the league, of being a college standout, and making the transition into the real world.
We're probably going to have a part two.
Yes, I am. I personally accept that of being the guy after LeBron. I do that. I'm completely fine with that. It's just the standpoint of how do we transition the kids best in terms of making that next step into professionalism. Because you're already making things ineligible in terms of, okay, if you're ready out of high school, you can't come out. That's another feat in its book. But the NCAA itself, what's going on there? And then the guys transitioning, it's a big drop off, man.
College is not realistic.
How much can you honestly say? Can you ever be ready?
No.
I went to school for 3 years.
No.
I went to school for three years.
You think you are ready?
Yeah, I went to school for 3 years.
I wasn't ready. I'll tell you that.
My freshman year, I had Jason Terry, who was, all American, National Player of the Year in different publications.
Right.
Then we went on to lose in the national championship game. So it was like I had every experience. We were a number one seed, a number two seed. We played big games. We won, went to Pac. So I was like, as far as the college experience, I had it all. I had all of the college experience. And then I got there. I wasn't ready.
No.
I wasn't ready. And I was fortunate. I had the easiest situation. I had three other rookies with me. Jason Collins, Brian Scalabrine, Brandon Armstrong. So it wasn't like I was just a lone rookie. I had three rookies. I got there when Jason Kidd got there. We went to the NBA Finals. Like, this was all my rookie year. So it's like I had a dream situation, and I remember calling my friends. I remember calling my friends back home. There was, like, Luke was there. That was Channing's freshman year. They're like, we're about to take Channing to his first keg party. And I'm sitting here, like, in the second round of the playoffs, like, so sad. Just like, God, I wish I could be there. And they're looking at me like, God, this guy's making millions. Like, he's in the playoffs. He's playing. And it's still just like,
Realistic to, like, it's not conducive to, like, help develop and grow a man or, like, an NBA player. Like, you look at other sports, like, they help grow you as, like, that person. Like, football players have to be a certain age. They have to be men. Like, I'm not saying certain guys are ready. Like, football is different. But, like, baseball has a farm system where, like, guys who are number one picks still go to college for a year. Then they might play AAA, get used to how things are done. They're getting checks. They're being more ripped. Like, if they want to go to school, they can go to school. And then they go to the pros. But, like, and you may have your one or two guys, like, I think Bryce Harper.
Yeah.
Right, is a freak of nature. But
Derek,
like,
Jeter was one of those guys.
Yeah, yeah, but, like, you're not going to, you're not going to, it's going to be better for the betterment of the game if, the, if like, the farm system or if college wasn't such a big drop-off from the NBA. Like, move the, like, basketball-wise, let's talk about that. Move the three-point line back, open up the lane, change the rules, like, make the shot clock shorter.
Well, and it is like, tough. It is tough for, like, even, like, two guys on our team, like you and Kevin. Like, you guys go to school for 1 year. You guys are all everything coming out of high school. You're all everything in college. Then you get the keys to a franchise, right? Without, and a lot of times because they have younger teams, they don't want to put a ton of veterans around because they're like, we're in a rebuilding phase. So it's like you're learning this game without a ton of high-level veterans. Uh-huh. Like, I was fortunate. I was the youngest guy on my team. I had Jason Kidd. I had guys like Lucius Harris. I had Aaron Williams, even Kenyon, who was a senior. Then you know what I'm saying? So, like, he had...
How good was he in college? He was really good in college.
I had a bunch of older guys that were able to kind of guide me along the way, and it was still difficult. Yeah. But to have you be, you know, a freshman, leader of the franchise, and a point guard, so you're having to learn the plays, you're putting everybody in the right spots, you have all this stuff.
That was a lot, man.
It's a lot. It was
a lot.
And it's unfair.
Would you change it? Would you change it?
Change what?
Would you have gone back and done it differently?
No.
I think the system, in place differently, I feel like guys like him could learn at a faster rate versus having to get your head beat in night in, night out, night in, night out.
And then we talked about what you feel like during that All-Star break, boy.
You lost more games in your rookie year than you had lost in your entire basketball career.
Yeah.
Oh, easy.
For sure. Yeah.
Easy.
But that's tough on a guy's psyche. That's tough on a guy's mentality. Like, you're playing against grown men. Like, you don't see the light through the tunnel. Yeah. You don't see that.
I mean, I was just very fortunate, man. I was very fortunate to have, you know, just my dad just really being able to reach out to people, even though I was really stubborn in my approach to everything. I try to tell the young guys now. I had a conversation with Devin Booker the other day.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, I kind of blame myself for them making that, other than us turning the ball over and coming out in that third quarter. But I'm looking up to him. I'm looking at him. I'm like, well, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Like, what are you doing right now, Dev?
Yeah.
Are you here to really just flow and go through your second season, or are you here to make an impact, not only on your team, but around the rest of the league?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
like, regardless if you're playing against a great team like us, what are you doing? Oh, man, it's hard. I know it's hard.
I've been there.
I know it's tough. I was like, I don't want to hear that. These are all excuses that you put yourself in that place. I get it. The situation can be.
Literally give
whatever it is.
A key to
that's what I'm saying. But
people in Phoenix are like, Devin Booker.
You just got to accept it. But that's the hardest thing, though.
Yeah,
that's the hardest thing.
Fully understand the opportunity.
You tell a 20-year-old, put everything. Like, just imagine you tell a 20 or 19-year-old, okay, look. We don't want to necessarily portray you as the best player on the team, but we're going to give you every responsibility.
Yeah.
We're going to put that the best player has. We're going to put everything on your shoulder. We're going to throw a heck of more information at you. You've never been on the road like this. You've never left your family. You've never been in different arenas like this. No. You've never experienced the NBA like this.
You never had men come at your neck.
Oh, ridiculously. But I admire that because I don't mind that. I love that part. I like that part. I like that part. I was built for that. Yeah. I just wish that the best thing that I experienced in college, and it was an unfortunate thing that I got hurt, but the best thing for me was being able to spread my oats on campus and being able to experience things that...
Spread your oats.
I'm talking about... Wait, okay, excuse me. Acquire knowledge. I said spread my oats, meaning that I was able to go to different organizations, hang out with different clubs, hang out with different people, and got to experience college that a normal college student got to experience.
It's the best. I had 1 month. That's the greatest thing ever. It is the greatest time. I went to Applebee's happy hour every day for a week.
It was the best.
I went to class, actually paid attention, and was like, wait a second.
This is all I have to do.
Because I didn't have to work out. Because we went to a tournament, and then right after a tournament, I said, you know what? I'm going to take this time off right here, right now, to enjoy college before I leave. Because I know, like, I left like a month early. I left like a month early to go work out in Chicago for the
redraft.
So I literally was like, man, I'm going to do it right. I went to class. I got my grades, which didn't matter because I ended up leaving anyways. But I was like, I want to see what it's really like. Went to regular parties with the kids. ate lunch, had a beer at lunch. Like,
that's what I'm saying.
Right?
It's in Arizona. But you know,
that is unbelievable experience. Bro, that's what made me want to go back to Duke again.
That's why I left school. No BS. Like after we went to the Final Four and I came back and my coach was like, oh, you're definitely leaving. Like my assistant coach. He was like, oh, you're definitely leaving. And I was like, no, I don't know. And then I went back and I went to class and I started listening to my teacher in, it was like nutrition, food, and you. And I was looking around.
That's a class.
I'm like, now, man, I tried. I'm out of here. Yeah. This time for a drink. But this is a crazy thing. So I, again, just comparing like situations, right? And Channing had a similar situation. I was a rookie and I was fortunate. I had a great team, great group of guys, great veterans. And I averaged like 10 points a game. My guy was second team all rookie. Like, I was good. But I used to get so jealous when I used to look at the trash teams, like Pau Gasol and all these guys that used like Jason Richardson at the time. These guys were averaging like 18 a game as a rookie.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting here like, I'm averaging 10 on a team that's trying to win games every single night.
Yeah.
I was like, if I could have gotten an opportunity, or even on a 500 team, I felt like I would have averaged like 16 or 17 points a game my rookie year.
Yeah.
Right? Because I would have been just thrown out there, just go, go, go. But I it shaped who I was and how, like, because from that point on, and again, it started in college, but college is unfair, but from that point on, all I wanted to do was win. Like, if I was not winning, it wasn't about numbers to me, it was all about just me trying to win games and being happy. But had I gone to a team that was like a 500 team and they were like, hey, you're our rookie small forward.
Oh, it would have been shaped different.
Yeah, it would have been
different. Because your responsibility on that team would have been a lot different.
A lot different. And it's like, I look at you and it's like, I'm like, the more I look at it, it's like, I am not, at the time, I was envious. As I got older, I'm like, I'm glad I didn't have to go through that. You know, and I respect the guys like yourself that were able to go through it and come out on the other side. Yeah. Come out on the other side, it was like, okay, like, winning is all that's important. How can we win? How can I get better? I know what the dark side is. I don't want to go to the dark side. And I'm appreciative of every win that we get.
Yeah, I am. But you can't get, like you said before, like a little while ago, you said it's hard on the psyche. It's just that you can never see yourself as what the record, you know, kind of portrays. You can't see yourself as a 33-win type of person. Like, I've been on winning teams, I've been in a winning environment, I'm waiting for that moment and I'm preparing for that moment. Now, don't get me wrong, the biggest thing for me is that I saw it as an opportunity for me to develop and get my skills to the right way, so when I have a situation like this, that I know it could be an easy transition for people to play with me. I don't want it to ever be, okay, well, no, this guy is just about his numbers. This guy is just about getting what he needs to get. Well, no, I've been on
getting that.
Yeah, and then the most important thing is that every opportunity I had to play against the top players, I wanted to destroy them. So every U.S. Select team, every
All-Star game,
like
All-Star game MVP.
And that's what I'm saying. I had to use that because I felt like it was some sort of slight in terms of what people thought I was actually as a player and as a person. No, I'm an assassin. You put me out there with the best guys out there, I want to destroy them. And the best have done it before me.
I'm so proud of you when you won your All-Star MVP.
We weren't having a great year. We weren't. Thanks, Allie. We weren't having a great year that year, man. It was tough. Mike Brown came in. You know, we had coaching change, but
you won more games than you did your rookie year.
I did.
That's all that matters. That's the improvement.
Yeah, but I did. We had a chance. We had a chance.
Losing because your team is young is different than when you have the highest payroll in the league and losing because none of your big players care or refuse to like
work out.
The 2005 Knicks?
That's a tough place to be.
What? You guys had the highest
payroll? Steve Francis, what? Zach Randolph.
Easy.
Yeah.
No. Oh, yeah. I got traded for Zach. So we had Steph, Steve, Jamal, Eddie, Jerome James. We had Trevor Ariza at one time, Ime Udoka, David Lee, Nate Robinson, Malik Rose, Jalen Rose, Antonio Davis, like
just no one. They just couldn't.
No. So the cool, like, I'll be honest.
Coaching.
It was So we had Larry the first year, and Larry, Steph,
did not get
Jamal.
They just
the problem is this. Larry always referred to everything as like the Sixers. I remember when I was with the Sixers, you know, like. And so I just think that, like, him and Steph completely clashed. And then the chemistry was awful on our team. We hung out, but then nobody really liked each other, but we had great guys. Like individually, Jamal Crawford's a great guy.
You're having a great time.
Yeah. And then that second year when Isaiah took over, it was like we were really trying to like get Eddie Curry, who has like some of the most talent I've ever seen at any player, just to get him involved. And it like we completely slowed the game down, so it took away from like guys like myself, Jamal, and those kind of guys. But you know, when you have a team that's young and they want to like hoop, and you're just young and losing, I think I could deal with that. Like, don't get me wrong, I was kind of sad in Orlando.
You're very sad
because I'm a little bit older and I like winning. But like being a rookie and having these vets and not really getting, being able to be put in a situation that is going to be successful for me in my career.
Yeah.
Like it took me 2 years, 3 years to like get rid of all the bad habits that I had.
Oh, yeah. Bad habits are the worst.
I got to Portland, they were like, okay, you got to lift every day. You got to do this. You got to do this. You got to do that. This is who you're going to be. And I was like, well, I know that's not who I'm going to be, but let's just keep working.
Yeah. Isn't it crazy that this all started from a would you rather?
Yeah,
question from
Alex. I know, and we've said goodbye to Kyrie 4 times.
Yes,
yeah, I'm out. Kai, thank you.
Thank you.
Means, okay.
No, Kai, but this is how appreciative we are of you staying on the first podcast. We're going to say goodbye as a group. Like,
we're gonna wrap this up. However, I do want to know who you got in the Super Bowl. Who are the two teams? AFC, NFC.
Okay, you're gonna have to tell me who's on both sides.
I got the Buccaneers.
Dolphins. See, I have two of my counterparts
Patriots
not watching
the Patriots
against the Steelers. Patriot. Oh, I want to go Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh's gonna win.
And then it's gonna be Packers against the
Packers. Packers. Okay, Packers and Pittsburgh.
Packers.
And I am rooting for Pittsburgh just because of the
Big Ben
the,
is an Ohio guy.
No, just yep. because of the shit that Terry Bradshaw was saying about the Pittsburgh coach.
Right,
what did he say?
You got who?
Oh, he was just saying that he's not a very good coach. He's just a rah-rah guy. And it's like, but then you go and look at the guy's record. The guy's record is ridiculous. Like, yeah. You're just like, really, Terry Bradshaw? Like, you're just, he's never viewed as a top coach. And it's like, well, after Belichick, who is really viewed as a top coach? And who has a resume like him?
Yeah,
like,
no way.
You know, so.
This will be for Road Trip Podcast number 2. But you've got who? Steelers and
Patriots? Steelers and Patriots. Steelers win.
I'm going with the Falcons.
I got excuse me. I got Steelers and Green Bay. Steelers win.
Steelers win the Super Bowl.
Yes.
I got Packers, Patriots.
And who wins the Super
Packers.
Bowl?
Packers.
Yeah.
I got the Falcons and the Steelers. I think
Falcons and Steelers.
I think the Falcons offense is
okay,
crazy.
I don't, no one cares.
I care.
I'm a big Aaron Rodgers.
Okay.
I care.
Aaron Rodgers is balling.
I have no idea how nervous I was to meet Aaron Rodgers.
I
was more nervous about Olivia Munn.
Because Olivia
Munn.
No, I wasn't nervous about it.
We can't stop.
I was nervous at the ESPYs because it was the first time I was seeing these athletes in nice dress suits.
Yo,
like,
yes.
I was like, this is crazy.
Channing was going to go.
Goodness,
Peyton
Manning.
To Olivia Munn and say,
you have no idea.
It wasn't that bad. I'm like, no, Channing, you can't say that.
What was it?
He was going to go to Olivia Munn.
Big comic book guy.
He's a big comic book guy. And he was going to go to Olivia Munn and say, hey, I like the X-Men. It wasn't that bad. I'm like, you can't say something wasn't that bad. Right? Because it didn't get very good for me.
No, it didn't.
I had to have at least 2 drinks before.
Well, I'm not going to lie.
Hey, okay, before we leave.
I definitely saw you.
Last thing, the best part, and I tell this story all the time, is every time I saw Peyton Manning, once I had a couple drinks, I was like, what's up, champ? What's up, champ? What's up, champ? What's up, champ? But like every time we went in there, he knew it was coming. He just put his arm out. I was like, what's up, champ? What's up, champ?
Oh, man.
And I was like, you a champ too? And then the Penguins players, I was like, you a champ? Come get this drink.
I think my favorite part.
Wow.
My favorite part was the open bar behind the stage. I was back there so much that when we won our first award, I was watching it on the TV.
Yeah.
So I was like, I'm like slurring my words. I was like, I gotta get out there for the rest of these. So then we got out there. Remember, we went up there. We won the best team, our best team.
Still waiting
on
that.
And so I have the ESPY award.
Still waiting on that.
And I wouldn't let anybody take it. I still have it. It's in my bar at my house in LA. Like, I just kept like, no one's taking this award. I'm keeping it with me forever. I just
You know who got the card?
Yeah.
Best team right here.
Best team.
Right.
Thanks for joining us, guy.
Bye, guys. All right, guys. Road Trip Podcast number one is officially in the book. Who is going to be our next guest?
I don't know. This was a surprise guest. Yeah, surprise guest. We were in our trainer, Steve Biro's room. He was so gracious to let us use his room for more space. So I think this was pretty unexpected. Kai came here to get treatment, and we just
didn't get treatment.
Yeah, we just roped him into a podcast. So, ladies and gentlemen, that's what you're going to get. You're going to get a lot of surprise guests, some surprise random statements. I honestly, it was kind of cool to see Kai open up and just talk about talk about his experiences, stuff that you normally wouldn't get, and normally you won't get to see from guys on random interviews, because it's just us sitting around talking and joking.
Can you please let viewers know, in case they don't already, your Snapchat handles? Because we want some fan interaction. So if there's anything that they want to know.
Well, we're going to take questions. We're going to figure out topics based off what fans want to know. Because this trip this podcast is really about the road trip. Like, everybody sees us at home. Everyone's snapping. Everyone's Instagramming. Like, we have the Was It Something I Said segment. I think Allie is going to try and jump in on that with Fred. I think this is more of just what's it like on the road? Like, us just hanging out. Our camaraderie is at an all-time high. So you can follow me at rjeff24 on Snapchat. And anything that you see on my Snapchat, you will see shortly thereafter on Channing.
But way
Snapchat.
Better.
So you're going to see
it's a little way better.
It's a little better.
At Mr. CTF, I got the French fry next to my name, dog.
Yeah, and I have the mic next to mine. So,
until next time, what was your guys' room number in Brooklyn?
Couldn't tell you. I don't even know what hotel we stayed in Brooklyn.
Really?
That's what happens when you're on day 11 of a 13-day road trip.
Yeah.
I think it was 4 hours.
Yeah.
Until next time, Road Trip Podcast.
Boom, boom.
Boom, boom.
Squish, squish.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.